Earth and Sky.
Welcome to Clear Voices. I'm Lindsay Patterson. Hurricanes are one of the most powerful and unpredictable forces of nature. And using some of the most powerful computers yet devised, scientists hope to forecast the behavior of hurricanes and avert future disasters. Researchers recently discovered that the relatively calm eye of a hurricane boosts its intensity. Here's Earth and Sky's Jorge Salazar with research meteorologist Scott Brown of the NASA Goddard Space Flight Center.
Dr. Brown, welcome to Earth and Sky.
Thank you.
To start with, tell me what's going on here. I understand that scientists have been modeling hurricanes for quite a while now, and they're still behaving unpredictably. What is the new research that you've come out with? What's new here?
Well, what we've done, most computer models are run at relatively coarse resolution. So what I mean is that they're typically unable to resolve some of the finer structures that we might see within a hurricane, particularly on the scale of the individual thunderstorm clouds. And that's also one of the reasons why the models tend not to do well, because there are certain things that, you know, maybe were not thought to be important at smaller scales that turn out to actually be important. And so what we did is we ran a computer simulation of Hurricane Bonnie, which occurred during a NASA field experiment back in 1998. And we ran it at fairly high resolution, sufficient to more or less resolve the individual clouds or thunderstorms within the eye wall and elsewhere within the storm. And what we found is that by going to that higher resolution, we start to see circulations form along the inner edge of the eye wall that were not readily apparent at coarser resolutions. And these circulations we found to be important in a couple different respects. A frequent observation from one of NASA's satellites called the TRIM satellite that can essentially do like a CAT scan of a storm has shown the occurrence of these very tall convective towers. They're often referred to as hot towers. And when they're observed, storms often intensify. So what we did is that in looking at the numerical simulation, we found that we would get these intense vortices or areas of strong rotation right on the inside edge of the eye wall. And where the airflow, which tends to go in a counterclockwise direction, where that airflow came out of the eye and moved into the eye wall, we found that it basically helped to force rising air motion in essence to help lift the air and form the thunderstorm updrafts. And so in that sense, the formation and movement of these hot towers within the eye wall are controlled by these intense areas of rotation on the inner edge of the eye wall. Now, another important effect that we found is that in the low levels of the eye, there's very warm, humid air. This is essentially very fuel-enriched air, and these areas of rotation essentially draw that air out of the eye, pull it into the eye wall, essentially giving these thunderstorm updrafts extra fuel. In some way, you can kind of look at it as being a turbocharger for the hurricane engine. And so that's an important process in terms of giving it an extra boost in strength.
Would you step back a second here and maybe talk about something that you mentioned about taking a CAT scan of a hurricane? I imagine that a hurricane is not the most easy patient to do this with. How do you go about doing something like that? What did you do to get these precise measurements of what was going on near the eye or inside the eye of a hurricane?
Well, back in late 1997, NASA launched a satellite called the Tropical Rainfall Measuring Mission, or TRIM for short. And this satellite is unique because it has the first and only precipitation radar in space. You know, you've often seen on your evening news where they'll show you the radar picture and you can see where the thunderstorms are and all that. And normally they just show you kind of a horizontal scan of what the storms look like, but they're actually scanning in three dimensions. Well, what NASA did was they put one of these types of precipitation radars on a satellite looking down. So as the satellite flies over, it basically scans from left to right, back and forth, and gradually maps out the precipitation within, I believe it's about a 250-kilometer swath, And so within that area, it's basically measuring the three-dimensional precipitation structure. So that means not only the shape of the precipitation or and how high it gets, but also how intense the rainfall is at different levels. And that's effectively like a CAT scan. You know, an X-ray would be a 2D image, which is what we often get when you consider the typical satellite measurements, such as from the geostationary satellites. But by scanning in three dimensions, you're getting something that's more analogous to an MRI or a CAT scan, and that it really allows you to see that three-dimensional structure.
I've got kind of a dumb question for you, though, but why is NASA focusing its attention on the eye of the storm? That seems like the part that doesn't really have much effect on people, I guess. What's going on at the eye of the hurricane, and why is that important as to the behavior of the hurricane?
Well, we're not focusing on the eye by itself, really. We were looking at what was happening within the eye wall in terms of these hot towers and any processes that might be important for their formation and any role that they play in hurricane intensification. And it just so happens that because of the very sharp change in winds from the eye wall into the eye, that helps to spin up these smaller scale circulations, which then help to control where the updrafts form. And they also then act to draw that low-level eye air out of the eye and into the eye wall to give the storm an extra boost. And so it's really the interaction between the eye and the eye wall that's important, not the eye by itself. Some of the theories about how hurricanes get their energy always viewed them in terms of air coming in from outside of the storm, picking up moisture and heat from the ocean surface, so essentially drawing fuel from the ocean surface, and then rising within the eye or within the eye wall and then moving outward at upper levels. But to some extent, those theories tended to, at least when compared to fairly simple numerical simulations, tended to underestimate the intensity that was being seen in some of these simulations. And what we found is that by considering the interaction of the eye wall with the high-energy air in the low-level eye, you actually start then to account for essentially, I don't want to say it's a missing energy source, but one that really hadn't been taken into full account before. And so that's why it's important, because it's adding to the energy of the storm, even though the winds in the eye itself aren't necessarily problematic from the standpoint of a hazard or anything like that, but it does contribute to the overall development of the storm.
There's been a lot in the media, I guess, about the role that global warming is playing in intensifying hurricanes, and it seems like research suggests that warmer water near the eye of the hurricane, near the eye wall, could be playing a bigger part in, as you said, turbocharging the engine of this hurricane. Is that an interpretation that's valid for this new finding, that global warming could be playing an even bigger role than what was originally thought?
No, I wouldn't make that type of statement as far as this is concerned. I mean, this is basically showing one way in which a hurricane can get some of its energy from the low-level eye and essentially draw some of that energy from the ocean. Now, while one certainly can argue, and there's evidence for warming potentially leading to more intense storms, the amount of change in that intensity is potentially still relatively small, and it's not clear yet whether, because most storms, the maximum intensity a storm can get to is based on the sea surface temperature for the most part, but most storms do not get up to their maximum intensity. So just because the maximum potential intensity that a storm can get to might increase somewhat as the ocean warms, that doesn't necessarily guarantee that the storms will actually realize that full increase in intensity. The interesting thing is, and there have been some interesting studies that show a link between the gradual warming of the oceans over the past century and perhaps an increase in the intensity of storms, but there are some difficulties with some of those analyses in that the hurricane data record is fairly inconsistent over time. You know, it's only been since the 1970s that we've had satellites, And really from the maybe the mid-70s or so that we had satellite estimates of intensity. And even the ability to estimate intensity from the satellites has changed during that period. Prior to the 70s, it was primarily aircraft observations, at least in the Atlantic. And then prior to the 40s or 50s, it was basically ship and land reports. So there's been a recent study by Chris Lansky at the National Hurricane Center that suggests that perhaps the changes in data quality and character could contribute to the trend that has been observed by some studies. So it's not clear how much of the trend is real versus just an artifact of the data. I think it's also important to note that the amount of increase in hurricane intensity that might come from the warming that we've observed over the past few decades is probably not important relative to the amount of buildup of the coastlines, which has put more buildings and people in harm's way. So that's really more of a factor in terms of trying to prevent disasters, is trying to slow down development of the coastlines. I think the global warming issue, while it's very important in most respects with hurricanes, it's still not clear how much of an effect global warming has had and will have. But in many ways, you don't really need to argue the hurricane aspect of it to make it clear that some action is needed on global warming. To me, it's almost a separate issue. It's not really an important part of the overall problem.
That was Jorge Salazar speaking with NASA's Scott Brown. This has been an Earth and Sky presentation.
We're at earthsky.org.